You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Introducing Marama Davidson, co-leader of the Greens. Kia ora Marama, how are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, I'm good, thank you. And pai tōre we hoa, ka pai.
Kia ora, thank you. Hey, it's nice to chat with you this morning. There's been some big announcements from the Greens over the last couple of weeks. Let's start with climate safe communities. This is a big policy that you've put out that encompasses a lot of different aspects of the way cities and communities will be having to respond to climate change. Can you break it down to some of the headlines here?
Sure. This is our Climate Safe Communities Plan, and it is going to protect communities in the face of extreme weather and ongoing climate impacts. For example, bringing nature back to our towns and cities and slashing our transport emissions. So what has happened is for decades, successive governments have just put it in the too hard basket, the action on urgent climate change, and that has climate change, as we all know, has supercharged those weather events. So the Green Party's Climate Safe Communities includes three significant light rail projects in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, a new $750 million urban nature fund over 3 years that is going to pull up things like protecting tree cover, restoring wetlands to be able to, wetlands, streams, parks to be able to soak up more of the rain, giving councils a clear direction to build in a way that's safe and resilient, and having more options for walking and cycling along with public transport. And that is really going to help towns and cities be resilient in the face of that massive impact of flooding, for example.
We'll come back to flooding in a minute, but I do want to talk a wee bit about light rail. That's a very ambitious plan to have it in those main centres. We're already seeing a lot of discussion about the light rail situation in Auckland. Do you think it's realistic to be trying to push it around the rest of the country when we're already in a bit of a loggerhead about how it should be done in Tamaki Makaurau?
Yeah, and this is the solution to that loggerhead and that round the merry-go-round that we've all been seeing for the past few years, is actually lifting it up above that with a clear model for public transport services, including allowing for local councils to have more of a say. And we've campaigned for many, many years for faster, cleaner and more frequent buses, trains and ferries. So actually the light rail plan that we have got, if people are interested, you can actually see the plan that we've got for each of those three cities. We've put a map plan up. It is far cheaper what we are proposing. We've put the evidence and the planning into it. We've looked at what other countries do. And it's also one of the faster ways in terms of constructing it, to be able to bring this to light for people. So, you know, this is actually the way to cut through that roundabout loggerhead that we've seen for the past few years.
So what is the barriers that are sort of, I guess, preventing this conceptually from getting across the line? Because if it is cheaper, if it's better for the environment, why is it not something that's a cross-party conversation?
Because National and ACT only know how to pour concrete, for example, and they have a bit of a conflict of interest with their focus on big new roads and big new motorways, which actually do not ease congestion at all. In fact, they do quite the opposite. And so what people's principles and values are, and that's what National and ACT have proven. Only the Green Party will be able to have the priority and focus on getting light rail up and running. And, you know, that's why we need more Green MPs in the next parliament, in the next government, to be able to actually pull the levers and say, let's actually just get moving on this.
Has there been any conversation with Labor, for example, about where they sit on light rail across other cities in Auckland, in New Zealand?
Oh, over the years, many, yes, of course. With this particular plan, we've actually been able to take all the expertise, look at all the research, look at all the evidence, look at all of the kerfuffle that has happened over the past, 6 years or so, even longer, in terms of trying to get rail up, and being able to pull an actual way through that, that will cut right through the muck around that has been happening so far.
Well, let's come back to flooding now. The Greens have announced $750 million promise of funding for flood protection. That's your plan, your goal for managing flooding in New Zealand. This is obviously another climate change related problem that we're going to be facing as a country. We already are facing. What would that money be going towards specifically?
The urban nature funding will support local groups and communities, for example, to undertake, you know, planting native trees, cleaning up urban rivers and streams, restoring estuaries and wetlands, also pest control, community nurseries and gardens, water-sensitive design, protecting current trees, especially natives. And this is actually part of, I guess you could call it green infrastructure, green solutions, nature-based solutions that will help absorb the flooding impact away from homes and away from people's houses. And we've seen this work, Rachel. We've seen this work in particular developments, including in Auckland and North Shore, where they have actually built those sorts of green and nature-based solutions into the development. And hello, those homes didn't flood. So we need to upscale that and see more of that. And that's what that funding is sort of is for.
In terms of conversations between central and local government, and then also other interest groups like iwi and various other organisations that will be managing their own communities' responses to climate resilience, where does that sit in terms of accessing this money or being part of that conversation?
Yeah, we know that this plan, including the urban nature planning, it's really important to work with local councils, local communities, and especially iwi mana whenua, who actually have had these sorts of this sort of mahi and work happening for a long time. My goodness, I'm thinking of the times I've helped with the Glen Innes stream planting with the marae who are pōtaka out that way, that has these very visions for cleaning up their waterways. We also know that te ao Māori thinking and values absolutely align with safer, resilient communities, using land better, using water better, and building in better places. So we know that that's going to be crucial. We've built that into our plan in terms of how we build and design safe climate communities as well.
Now, just briefly, let's talk a wee bit about polling. It has been bouncing around a bit over the last couple of weeks, but it's looking very tight, and we are seeing, particularly for the Greens, sort of a little bit of up and down in that, I think, 12 to 10 area at the moment. How are you guys feeling confidence-wise with your messaging and, I guess, what it is you're trying to get across in this election season?
Really stoked. The pattern of polling across the last nearly 3 years, but also particularly in the last 6 months or so, has actually had us consistently climbing, Rachel. And that's in a pretty tough, volatile political environment. We are actually defying political history for the pattern of smaller parties in a government arrangement. So we know that that is because of how our policies and solutions are landing. We know people are struggling right now and they are looking for bold solutions. And we're really clear that the only way to get climate action, free dental and income guarantee, warm, affordable, healthy homes is to vote for the Green Party. Those are the solutions that we've been putting up. It's clear to see that after each of our announcements, we are the ones putting up the solutions. Is it like laser policy, laser focused on getting the most Green MPs than we have ever had and getting a strong hand in the next government so we can get these solutions across the line. And the polls indicate that people are seeing that from us.
We are also seeing, looking at other parties polling around the same space as you, ACT currently, I think, about on 13 on the One News party poll from the last week. That's also coming up and up a little bit over these last few weeks that we've seen polling come out. What do you think it is that's pulling people in that direction at the moment as well, Marama?
I think Seymour is actually appealing to the worst of our humanity rather than the best of. He is inciting direct racism, like fancy mansplaining to Nelson Mandela's grandson, to Nelson Mandela's own family, about what Nelson Mandela would stand for if he was still alive. That's a sort of, taking the election for, you know, taking everyone for the piss, basically, taking the piss out of elections. And that's a lazier way to campaign. We're focused on putting up the bold, clearly thought out, achievable visions for change that are going to help people, communities, and our planet for future generations. And, you know, that's also resonating despite such toxic political narratives happening. We are still actually managing to get that cut through, which I'm really proud of.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama. It's great to have you on the show. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Rachel. Lovely to talk with you. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.